This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
If they know something about the drugs, and if he lied, they'll have to take appropriate action.
Okay, let's get out of here. I got to go back to work.
Join me tonight at 7 o'clock on GB News. The full interview with Donald J. Trump. And he makes it absolutely clear. He's running. He believes that he is going to win. This is an interview you will not want to miss. Britain's questions answered tonight exclusively on GB News at 7 o'clock. Join me.
It's Tuesday, 19 March, year of our Lord, 2024. We're honored to have the great Nigel Farage join us. Not just Britain's questions, Nigel, but from the clips I've seen behind the scenes on this, you really answer the world and America's questions, too. Tell me about it. You have a special relationship, and a very special chemistry with President Trump. Walk me through the interview.
Yes, Steve, good morning. Well, given what he's facing, the legal challenges, the fines, his resilience, it's truly astonishing. I don't know anyone that could put up with the levels of abuse, legal abuse particularly, and be as upbeat. He was very, very annoyed with mainstream media in America, the UK, and across the world over the comments he made about car workers in Ohio the other day. They completely taken the use of the word bloodbath out of context. We talked about that. We obviously talked about Prince Harry, the ghastly Prince Harry. Has he lied on his visa forms? Did the Biden administration give him a free pass? I certainly get the impression that if Donald Trump becomes president next January, that Prince Harry may well need to pack his bags and leave America. We obviously talked about NATO. His comments about NATO have been willfully misinterpreted by the globalists, by the European unionists. They're now even talking about Brussels having its own nuclear weapon because they say America is going to withdraw. He makes it pretty clear that America is not going to be taken for a free ride and that other people need to pay their bills. And if they do that, fine. The alliance holds. So things like that, he was really very, very strong on. Overall, I think he's upbeat, he's optimistic, but it's very clear to me that the border, the consequences of the border, crime, terrorist threats, the fentanyl coming in, this is clearly going to be the absolute centerpiece of his campaign, and I think rightly so.
Nigel, recently over the last couple of weeks, because we think so highly of you, and not just your leadership, but also your understanding as a communicator and as a media person, what's important. We have been doing other interviews in Great Britain, particularly, and I'm shocked. At first, I think they're kind of putting me on. I'm shocked about the level of the lack of sophistication of the questions. And is it because, walk me through that. What is, because you know America so well. You know the Trump movement so well because you're a populist nationalist. But when I'm talking to other media people and their producers are coming to us and saying, these are the topics, the questions in a large, oftentimes are kind of infantile. Is that just the way it's being covered in the United Kingdom? Because I've always kind of revered BBC, the Times of London, the Financial Times. Americans, particularly if you're newspaper readers, have always deferred to Fleet Street and the great papers of even The Guardian, which is left-wing, but it's pretty well edited. But it seems like it's just there's something's wrong, that they don't have a basic understanding of what's happening here, sir.
No, I don't think much of mainstream media in the United Kingdom even begins to understand what the populist movement is, why it's there. They thought, Steve, that 2016 was an aberration. Brexit, Trump, well, that's just a one-off. Don't worry, it won't last, and normal service will be resumed. And what they don't really understand is that 2016 was just the first wave in my opinion, of what is going to be a very, very big populist revolt right across the Western world, where people stand up and simply say, look, you know, we believe in our nations, we believe in our own democracies, we believe in our culture. You know, dare one say that? We're going to stand up and defend the Judeo-Christian culture, which frankly is the basis of everything. And people are understanding that. The media, right at the moment, just don't get it. And what will happen when Trump wins in November? What will happen when there are huge successes from Germany to Italy to France in the European elections of second week of June this year, is they'll all say how surprised they are. They just don't get what is going on, because it really is happening.
In their own countries, I remember for a couple of years, you were the voice in the wilderness after Brexit, but going down to the beach and talking about the invasion that was happening in the United Kingdom, coming over from, I think it's Calais. And now here in the United States, we have this issue with Haiti. We're about to have our first Marine mass migration take place over the next couple of days, and that's going to cause another. We already found out they've shipped 138,000 Haitians in by plane. What is it about the establishment? What is it about the people in the ordered economy of Europe and the United States that will not let them see that mass migration, these kind of invasions into both Europe, the United Kingdom, the United States, are breaking the economies and breaking the people, the working class people in those nations?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors at play here, Steve. I mean, one, they may be a minority, but there are people out there. They're really descendants of Trotsky, actually. You know, Trotsky didn't believe in borders. Trotsky didn't believe in countries. Trotsky believed in, you know, one world government, effectively. So you've got people who actually are pleased to see our cultures and our communities broken down, because they think it goes on to this greater good, which I think, frankly, is a disastrous concept. But so much of this, Steve, happens because of conservative cowardice. There are too many people in the so-called conservative movement right across the Western world who, when they're faced with issues like mass migration, when they're faced with issues like Islamism, are simply too scared to stand up and be countered. And we shouldn't underestimate the extent to which conservative cowardice has led us to this pass.
Is this going to, because we just talked earlier about the budget, we're about to be presented a budget now that does not close the border, doesn't take out any of the woke and weaponized, it actually increases Pelosi's budget, and they're going to try to jam this through with half the Republican Party voting for it. Well, will this year's European parliamentary elections in June be a wake-up call, you think, to the Tories, or be a wake-up call to the parties that are fighting Alternative for Deutschland or fighting your Reform Party in their host countries? Will that be a wake-up call that people are just tired of this and they need to see dramatic change and they need to see it now?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think, you know, I was the outlier. I think the Brussels establishment kind of took the view that I was just some weirdo from England, and there was nothing really to worry about. But of course, the arguments that are being made, you know, by the AFD, by Le Pen, by all of these people, they're pretty similar, aren't they, to the arguments that I was making 20 years ago, that it is about national sovereignty, it is about the identity of the nation, it is about controlling borders. And, you know, if you don't control your borders, you're not really a nation. But it's also deeper, isn't it? It's also this incredibly unhealthy relationship that we now have between the big corporate companies, the big banks, and big government. And it's kind of like the little man and little woman are getting overtaxed, overregulated, and squeezed out of all of this. And in a sense, that's what the farmers' protests have been about all over Europe. You know, these are people, you know, maybe got a couple of hundred cattle or something like that. And in the name of, you know, in the name of climate change and net zero, governments want to close them down. So this is a real, right across Europe, this is a real bottom-up, grassroots upswelling. And I think what happens when we get those results on the night of June the 9th across Europe, I think it could be a very dramatic moment.
You talk about the little guy. By the way, Ben Horner was going to join us at 6 to talk about the farmers' revolt, and actually the EU may be turning on even Ukraine, its beloved Ukraine, because of the farmer, the muscle of the farmers. We'll get to that later. But you talk about the little guy. One of the most explosive things coming out of this interview, at least as the Daily Mail, I think, is leaking it, is about what you mentioned before, Prince Harry and President Trump's issues with maybe how he was able to settle here in the United States. Do you think in asking that question, that'll put you, Nigel Farage, or I know a lot of people in England are talking about the Reform Party taking over the Tories, and one day you would be the Prime Minister of England. Do you think that will starts a process of put you crossways with the crown?
I think the no. I mean, look, I think that Prince Harry is now virtually an outcast. The level of disrespect that he showed his grandmother, our late great queen, was astonishing. What is clear is that Charles has not gone soft. Charles has not backed down as far as Harry's concerned one little bit. You know, he's let the side down. I mean, frankly, his behavior has been really verging on treachery, frankly. So, no, I don't think me discussing Harry's future does my future relationship with our monarch or our royal family any harm at all. And as far as the Conservative Party is concerned in the UK, and here's the bizarre thing, Conservative movements are making such progress everywhere, and yet under Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson the British Conservatives are in a state of collapse. They're going to get absolutely hammered at this election. And I do think at some point in the next Parliament, at some point between 2024 and 2029, there will be a major realignment of that part of the Conservative Party that actually believes in the right stuff, and the millions of people who are going to come out and vote for reform. So big change is coming in the UK. It won't happen overnight, but it is coming. And certainly, I intend to be a part of that.
Nigel, you led when you essentially worked to get your country's freedom through sovereignty in 2016, and you'd taken years for you to build up and do that. What are the one or two things you see that will be, if you reform it, will rejuvenate the Tories, the conservative movement in the United Kingdom? What are the building blocks that you see to do that?
We have to make work pay. I know it sounds stupid, but you can pretty much now earn as much on benefits as you can going out getting an average job. And that is breeding into people laziness. We've got millions of people of working age, and they're signed off permanently sick because they suffer from a bit of depression, whatever it may be. So I'm all for raising the threshold at which we start to pay tax to make sure there's a huge incentive to go out to work. And unless we get growth, we cannot deal with, same as America, the ever-growing national debt. Even the debt interest repayments every year are becoming crippling for our countries. We have to get the country back to work. And that's a combination of carrot and stick. We have to make it tougher for people to be signed off sick just because they're having a bad day. Whilst at the same time, encouraging enterprise. And I think that the economics of this are really right at the heart of what we have to do for people. And we also culturally have to fight because, you've seen what's been happening in London and our big cities. I mean, these pro-Palestinian demonstrations, the appalling things that are being said and chanted, the fact that the police have virtually given up on all of this. We need firm leadership to get a grip.
Nigel, everybody in the inner circle around President Trump is raving about this interview. How can we in America see it? When are you going to play it live?
It'll be played live today from 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's dead easy at gbnews.com. Go there and you can see it, and it's free.
Nigel, we know why your show is the number one show in the United Kingdom. It's amazing. You're amazing. And by the way, you look so relaxed. In South Florida, the British got to make a real play. We want you over here. I've never seen you so relaxed. Nigel, thank you so much for coming on. And great
Steve,
interview with the President.
Thank you, as ever. No, it's a great privilege to come on War Room. It really is.
Thank you, brother. Nigel Farage, one of the most significant politicians in the history of the United Kingdom, worked for 20 years on Brexit. And remember, the whole issue with Brexit, they have not seized it. The political class, they are still not seized it as the opportunity it is. I'm sure Nigel will turn that around. And I'm long Nigel Farage. I think you're seeing right there a future prime minister of the United Kingdom, Nigel Farage. Today at 3 p.m., we'll make sure we try to stream it and get it up. This interview right here is incredible. President Trump has tremendous chemistry with Nigel. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. I think when we come back, I think hopefully we're going to have Dr. Peter Navarro. We're trying to work all of that out this evening live before he reports in today to prison for a misdemeanor. Remember, it's a misdemeanor he's reporting for. Dr. Peter Navarro next here in the War Room. Rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
My case that somehow that has changed. And here's where the homework is, because the big constitutional separation of powers are these. Can Congress compel a senior White House advisor, what they call the alter ego of a president, to testify before Congress? And executive privilege goes back to George Washington and his remarks to the Congress regarding the Jay Treaty. And he said very simply and clearly, succinctly, elegantly, that to write to the Congress, he said, I cannot command you as members of Congress to come to me. You cannot command me to come to you. And the reason is the constitutional separation of powers. And as the legal doctrines have evolved, and the Supreme Court has been very adamant about the sanctity of executive privilege, that privilege has extended to what's called alter egos of the president, which is what I am as one of his highest advisors. And the principle here related to effective presidential decision making is simply that if a president does not have the ability between and among his advisors to get confidential information in the sanctity of the Oval Office, he will make poor decisions which will harm the Republic. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. And as this case has worked through the legal process, there are a number of big issues that we will be going through on the appeal that Mr. Woodward in the back there will lead with Stan Brand, two of the finest scholars in this area imaginable. So the issues, again, please do your research. It's, can Congress compel someone like me to testify? The answer has been no ever since George Washington said that to the Jay Treaty. What constitutes executive privilege? Is it presumptive? If not presumptive, what does a formal invocation look like? In my case, I had an evidentiary hearing for the first time in history. I presented just a mountain of direct testimony and circumstantial evidence related to emails, correspondence, phone calls, and visits with the president and his top aides. And at the end of that day, the judge made the novel choice to say privilege had not been invoked. And it was absurd. It was probably the most absurd element of this case. So the appeals court and then the Supreme Court will ponder that issue. And it's a really important issue. A third issue has to do with the fact, and this should chill you, okay? If you're ever in my position and you have to go to trial, it should chill you to know that the judge has the discretion to strip you of any defense before you ever get to a jury. How can that be? That can't be the law. And the way that happened in this case was through the misapplication of an antiquated, misapplied precedent of the lower court that had no bearing on anything related to cases involving executive privilege. It was absurd. And in a related case with Stephen K. Bannon, Judge Nichols released him pending appeal with one line, released because I think this may be reversed. And the thing that Nichols said, top of the list, was Licavoli. That's the four-letter word in this case. The last issue is something called the rule of lenity. Again, put yourself in my shoes. The law, up to the point where I was convicted, said one thing, which is to say, I was doing my duty to this country, the Constitution, and my oath of office, according to the Department of Justice, according to the Supreme Court. They flipped that. The rule of lenity says, if they flip that, I'm not guilty, okay? Try the next person who knows that the law has been changed, but you can't do that. So these are the big constitutional issues that we will fight first at the appeals court and then to the Supreme Court. Now let me turn to the partisan nature of this. Fact check me on this, folks. Fact check me. Every person who has taken me on this road to that prison is a friggin' Democrat and a Trump hater. Let me walk you through it. It starts with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who forms the J6 committee, blows away all the rules, improperly constituted, unduly authorized, an unlawful committee. She puts on seven Democrats, every single one of them, fact check it, every single one of those went after Donald Trump through two impeachments and the Russia hoax, and all they want to do is stop Trump. And the two Republicans on there were not Republicans at all. Liz Cheney, who hates Donald Trump because Trump told the truth about her daddy. Her daddy killed people with the Iraq and Afghanistan war, and everybody in this country knows that. Pelosi, the J6 committee, they subpoenaed me. The Congress itself, when they voted my contempt charge, a strict party vote line. If the House had been held by Republicans, I wouldn't be here. The Democrats pushed me, what? And then we get the Department of Justice. Boy, is that a misnomer now. The two prosecutors in the case, one of them, we got a letter she wrote to Bill Barr showing her Never Trump credentials. And they are the ones who, during the trial, consistently insisted I was acting above the law when they wouldn't let me explain to the jury why I was obeying the law. I get convicted. Then it goes to the jury. Did I mention the jury? Look, I love anybody who serves on a jury, okay? I do not criticize the jury itself as individuals. But would you, as a Republican and a member of the Trump administration, want to sit before 12 people drawn from a voter registration pool in which 95% of the people voted for Joe Biden? That's astonishing. So I get in front of that jury. The judge had already stripped me of the defenses, and I'm facing that jury. And by the way, the judge who stripped me of the defenses, fact check me on this. Before he got appointed to the bench by Barack Obama, he was what's called a bundler. You know what a bundler is? He bundled checks to give to the campaign of candidate Obama. And coincidentally, he winds up on the bench. Democrat, 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 Democrat. The final issue is I go to the appeals court. The appeals court to get simple release pending my appeal, which is the normal course. And it was given immediately to Stephen Bannon. No. The judge fights me on that. But the appeals court, think about this. Mr. Woodward files that appeal. It comes into three judges. Two of them are Republican. One is a Democrat. We've got your appeal. Time passes, a short period of time. We get the ruling back. Appeal denied. Three Obama judges on the three panels. Three. How did that bait and switch happen? That's supposed to be a random draw. You know what the odds of that are? Less than 20%. Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. From start to finish. This is the partisan weaponization of our judicial system. Please write these big stories. Now, the last thing I want to say is that that's prison. That's where they take your freedom. But as hard as it will be on me and as hard as it will be on anybody who is in there, it's harder on their families. And this is who those Democrats have hurt. This is who the Democrats have hurt. I will walk proudly in there and do my time. But what they do to people, and by the way, fact check this. I will be the only person in that prison who's been convicted of a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor. Everybody else is in there for felonies. I will gather strength from this. Donald John Trump is the nominee for the Republican presidential campaign. While I'm away for the next 4 months, my book, my new book, it's called The New MAGA Deal, the guidebook to the Trump platform, the unofficial guidebook to the Trump platform, is being published by Don Jr.'s publishing house, Winning Strategies. And if anybody wants to get an advanced copy, if I may do a little marketing here, you go to newmagadeal.com. That book will be ready on the eve of the Republican National Convention, and it will be an important tool to show the people of America what MAGA principles are about. You want anything? Know about the 100 policies in the first 100 days of the new Trump administration to make us more prosperous and safer and secure, to deal with that southern border, to deal with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. NewMAGADeal.com. That will be it. And I am just tired of the Democrats saying that Donald Trump and his followers and supporters are extremists. This was the man. This was the man. Make no mistake about this. For 4 years, 4 years, peace, prosperity, security, price stability. What do we have now? Inflation, an out-of-control southern border, war clouds growing in the Taiwan Strait, in Gaza, in Ukraine. That's Joe Biden. NewMAGADeal.com. All right, I'm going to stop there. I'll take a few questions, and then I'm going to make my journey across the street. We'll start with you, ma'am. My mission is to defend the constitutional separation of powers and executive privilege. And I knew from day one of getting that subpoena, based on my experiences in the White House, from reading the Office of Legal Counsel memos at the Department of Justice, that absolute testimonial immunity was in place. McGahn, Dearborn, Conway, Porter. I can give you a whole long string of senior White House advisors who did exactly what I did and were never prosecuted. And if I had gone to Congress and played the piecemeal game with them, I would have done damage to the separation of powers, and I would not have been doing my duty. I would not have been obeying my oath of office. Next question. Yes, sir.
Are you nervous, and have you spoken to Donald Trump?
I am not nervous. I'm not talking about, I'm going to claim executive privilege on the Donald Trump conversations. I've had the greatest amount of support from Donald Trump and his team. And look, they can put me in prison. They can put you in prison. Make no mistake about that. And make no mistake about this. They are coming after Donald Trump with the same tactics, tools, and strategies they used to put me over there today. Okay? Think about this. Stripped of all defenses before a jury trial. That's going to happen to him. Democrats in all the jurisdictions he's in. Fannie Willis in Atlanta. The guy in Manhattan, Bragg. And then, of course, Jack Smith at the Department of Injustice, as we like to call it on my side of the fence. So I'm pissed. That's what I'm feeling right now. But I'm also afraid of only one thing. I'm afraid for this country, because this, what they're doing, should have a chilling effect on every American, regardless of their party. If they come for me, they can come for you. What else you got? Take two more. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Poquito. Oh, you can. Now, I can't speak to the camera, though. Yeah, yeah. Hang on, is there anybody else yet? Yes, ma'am.
Committee be jailed for their suppression of evidence.
Look, J6 committee did not investigate, in my judgment, the most important aspects of how that riot occurred. I wrote in my book, In Trump Time, in the chapter about J6, that the last three people on God's good earth who wanted violence that day on Capitol Hill were Stephen K. Bannon, President Trump himself, and me. And the reason is that the fact that that violence occurred deprived this country of having a review under the perfectly legal 1887 Electoral Count Act of the votes. Okay? What I think needs to happen, and I hope the Republicans, are you listening, Louder Mech? Are you listening, folks up there, Jim Jordan, my brothers who I used to ride with on Air Force One, you need to remember that J6 committee has some unfinished business. There were more FBI informants up on Capitol Hill that day, possibly instigating that crowd, than the FBI itself could keep track of. There were stories about that. Why did Nancy Pelosi not provide more Capitol Hill police? Why did Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense, have the National Guard so far away? And as for the destruction of evidence, sir, look, the things they are doing, you know, Hillary Clinton, like, cleansing her there's so many things these Democrats have done that would actually justify prison. You juxtapose that with me, all I've done is my duty. All I have done is my duty to this country, the Constitution, my commander-in-chief, and to my oath of office. Sorry, one more.
Do you want a pardon either for President Joe Biden or Trump if he becomes president?
This is going to the Supreme Court. My mission in this, and I will have served my time by the time that mission is completed, is to get this in front of the Supreme Court. And I hope that they will put politics aside and look at, this is what they call a case, it's important, this is what they call the case of first impressions, okay? There are so many novel legal issues in this case that require the settlement, again, another legal term, of good law on the subject, settling good law. It's crying out for the Supreme Court to do this. But the tragedy here is because I have not been released pending appeal. I will have already done my time before that is done. But that's the price of living in Joe Biden's America right now. God bless you all. I'll see you on the other side.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
From Trump, sir. No.
They're waiting for you.
Hey. Okay, right there is Doctor. Let's keep that shot, guys. Denver, if we can go back, let's go back. Let's. It did froze. Okay, that is Doctor. Peter Navarro outside the prison in South Florida. I think it's in the Greater Miami area. He reports today. Think about that for a second. Our own Doctor. Peter Navarro, calm, cool, and collected. A little worked up as the fighting kind of bantam rooster he is. Peter Navarro is a man that comes in and will stand his ground. He will never flinch. And you saw that today, just a command performance. Out there on the topics, two topics. Number one is his legal case and the process of going forward on appeals. And he said he's going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court because it's got many elements that need to be addressed by the Supreme Court. The question gets to be, why is he, for a misdemeanor, not out on appeal, but is in prison today? I think it's a four-month sentence. I believe that can get cut down to 90 days or 60 days. We'll find out. The other one that is within our ability to change, and this is, to me, the one that should take precedent right now, is the J6 and the J6 committee. This is 100% within the purview of Speaker Johnson. He has the ability to do this. And I realize Loudermilk and what I call some of these backbenchers, and Loudermilk's a good guy, but he's not somebody's going to make a lot of headlines. He's having these subcommittee hearings right now, and we're having, you know, time after time after time. We're finding out about suppressed information. We're finding out about suppressed testimony. We're finding out about testimony that what the videotape depositions are missing. There is questions about the footage, why all the footage has not been put out. This is 100% within our purview of what Dr. Peter Navarro was saying. The J6 committee, you could meet and actually dump and get rid of the kind of the phony J6 committee report. You could do this. Remember, in Colorado, they used the report as the basis for trying to remove President Trump from the ballot. And so Dr. Navarro there, I think, making a very compelling case, number one, on his case, but also the bigger issues. This is why Navarro stood his ground on belief in the Constitution, belief in the oath we took as officers in the White House on the very first day, the oath that we took to actually assume our positions. Remember, he was an assistant to the president. Nothing comes higher than that inside the White House except for the commander-in-chief and the vice president. So Peter Navarro, who's one of President Trump's closest advisors, you read everything about the economic fight at all with China. Dr. Navarro is there at every step of the way. You talk about the tariffs. You talk about the southern border. When the southern border got, when they tried to have this big issue and the surge in the southern border, Peter Navarro, Dr. Navarro, went to President Trump and said, hey, if we fold in the economics, the economic reality about Mexico in the United States, if we fold that in, we can get Mexico We can use this as leverage to get Mexico to actually stop exacerbating the invasion into through our southern border, and to get them to crack down on the cartels and to provide troops. All that plan that President Trump came up with. Remember, I think it was 15,000 Mexican Marines that were going to be strung along the border, particularly in places like across from El Paso, Texas, and Juarez, where we built the wall. Right across there, they would string out dozens and dozens of Mexican Marines. That was all Dr. Navarro's plan. He was absolutely essential. He was absolutely essential and one of the president's closest advisors on a number of topics. But everything economically and bringing back manufacturing jobs was at the center of it. And that's why his fight over executive privilege, and the reason I think this audience loves Peter and the people around the president that love President Trump and love the MAGA movement, understand that Peter Navarro has been a fighter from day one, and he's not going to back off. He will not back off, and he will not back down. And you see today the culmination of that is Dr. Navarro is reporting to prison. I guess if we have another shot there of Real America's Voice again. By the way, great coverage. Right there for an impromptu press conference. I think to show you the caliber of the man is not just how he comported himself today with complete dignity, but just off of the top of his head, he was, and I want to thank Real America's Voice for letting us blow a couple of breaks here, but we cut back in after the commercial break because he was supposed to start a little later, but he hit the mark right there at 11:15. And think about that. That was 10 to 12 minutes that he walked through the entire case like he was the lawyer arguing the case. It's pretty amazing. The composure he had, the courage he has, and that courage is contagious. It's one of the things the Biden regime is afraid of. They thought they had when Trump went back to Mar-a-Lago on that afternoon, the late morning, right before noon, on the 20th of January, 2021. It was in Mar-a-Lago. Remember the Murdoch memo, we're going to make him a non-person. There were so many people that ran away and said, we're not going to do it. Dr. Navarro actually went and got a place near Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach so he could make sure the president understood that not only was he was with him the entire way. He's never flinched and never backed down. I met Dr. Navarro before I actually took over the campaign. I had heard of him, his books. When he stepped in the campaign, I realized President Trump, this is in late 15, early 16, when they were still in the primary, I realized, and by the way, he was brought in by Jared Kushner. Jared had read a number of the books, I'd heard about it. The books are for the anti-CCP community, of which I was then not maybe one of the leaders I am today, but beginning because Breitbart was a very anti-CCP publication, a news site. Dr. Navarro was a legendary guy. When he stepped into President Trump's campaign, he became the biggest voice in the campaign on one of the most important topics, and that was bringing manufacturing jobs back to the United States, to the heartland. When you talk about piercing the blue veil, which was our key strategy of how to win, to fight in Pennsylvania, to fight in Michigan, to fight in Wisconsin, and to use what we felt was the momentum we would get coming out of Ohio, Peter Navarro was absolutely central to that. That's why his new book, and I love the fact he makes a pitch for the book right there. It's Pure Navarro. That's Trumpian. That's Pure Navarro. New MAGA deal book. You want to show your support of Peter Navarro? Order the book today from Winning Team Publishing. Don Jr.'s and Sergio Gore's publishing house has done something. Did the Carrie Lake book, did the MTG book, did the President's book of the Letters to Trump, which I just think is magnificent. New MAGA Deal, go to newmagadeal.com. Show your support for Peter Navarro, one, by going to a Substack, and we'll push up. They're going to have guest columnists for his column. We'll be pushing those out nonstop. But in the new MAGA deal, what Peter went to the team with and said, hey, you know, Biden's coming out. All these policies hurt people. All these policies are making the lived experience of the American people, particularly working class and middle class people, worse. Let's come out with a positive message of what our policies are. And if you look in there, they have many of the people you see on the war room, the Dave Walshes of the world, the Russ Votes of the world, in there with Dr. Navarro, taking specific segments and showing you the receipts, showing you the details. Why? Dr. Navarro is a fighting populist and economic nationalist. He was absolutely central to the 26 campaign. Those policies, when we would go to those rallies and President Trump would talk in shorthand to the audience, not have to explain it in detail like you have to do in the boardrooms in New York City or out in East Hampton, but the people understand that the elites in this country ship the manufacturing jobs over to China, That was Dr. Peter Navarro. And Dr. Navarro was one of just a few of the senior personnel that stayed for all 4 years. And I can say this about Dr. Navarro because he's like a brother to me. Dr. Navarro, I think, worked 7 days a week every day for the 4 years. I don't ever remember him taking a day off. In fact, I don't remember many weekends. And I think Joanna Miller and the team that worked for him, Garrett Ziegler, Joanna Miller, I mean, some of the young people he had are now stars today because that's how he picks people and that's how he trains them. This guy is working 7 days a week. I mean, this guy was absolutely, completely relentless and dedicated to this cause. And today, this whole thing is for a higher purpose. He had every opportunity to roll over, every opportunity to waver on this. And he said, no, this is a matter of principle. And he's a man of principle. And so today, and this is just the interim stop. You saw him, the courage he showed right there, what he showed to the American people, what he showed to the MAGA movement. If you show the African-American community and the Hispanic community that's being abused by the Biden regime right now, being abused by the Biden regime, you look to the courage of Dr. Navarro. That's what this movement's about. Dr. Navarro is the personification of the fight. To President Trump, look at President Trump, this outrageous fine they put on him. It's adding every day, and they're cackling that they're going to start liquidating next Monday. They're going to start liquidating the real estate empire that he and his father have built, and Don Jr. and Ivanka and Eric have taken forward. They're laughing that they're going to liquidate this. Remember what Dr. Peter Navarro just said right there. It's not him. They're coming for Trump, and they're coming for Trump because they're coming for you. That's who stands in the way of them. President Trump, you see Peter Navarro stand outside of prison and giving that remarkable, off the top of his head, explanation of what went on? That's where they want to see Trump. They're not going to be happy. This is why at the start of the show, we play this over-the-top rhetoric. They are not going to be happy until they see Trump in prison. This is why all their cases are falling apart. You don't think it's falling apart? Go to Citizens Free Press. The great Kane has put up there at the top of the stack everything that the judge in Florida did yesterday, and he's got the clips of the meltdown that happened last night with Weissman and the rest of this crowd. They want to see Donald J. Trump exactly where Peter Navarro is today. They want to see him reporting to a prison. Remember that. That's what this fight's about at the end of the day. It's what one side's going to win and one side's going to lose. You can't compromise with this. If you compromise with this, you lose. That is what's so remarkable about the comeback of President Trump and the comeback of President Trump supported from the beginning by Dr. Peter Navarro said, hey, the 2020 election was stolen. Remember, Dr. Navarro is the one that did the analytics of that. The 2020 election was stolen, full stop. We're sorry if you don't like hearing that. But we're going to win in November, and we're going to get to the bottom of how this thing was stolen, and we're going to hold people accountable that stole it. And one day, they're going to be doing their own press conference as they walk into prison for a lot longer than 90 days. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We want to make sure everybody goes to newmagadeal.com. Show your support of the great and courageous Dr. Peter Navarro, War Room Zone. This book is amazing. Buy one, in fact, buy one for the people that hate Trump the most. Sign it and give it to them. Short commercial break. Back in the war room in a moment.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room-type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Birch Gold, the end of the dollar empire, a topic Dr. Navarre and I talk about often. We're not going to have a chance to talk to him for about, what, 3-4 months? But we're going to make sure that we stay in constant contact. Also, I know the book's pre-order. It's going to come out around Father's Day, I think, or right before the convention. It is New MAGA Deal. Go to newmagadeal.com and get it today if you want a signed copy. I think Sergio and the team have that. Winning Team Publishing, Don Jr., Sergio Gore have a great publishing company. They've done Kerry Lake MTG. So newmagadeal.com, get the book. Also, Birch Gold. Peter and I talk about that a lot. Times of turbulence. Gold is a hedge. You can talk to Philip Patrick and the team, or get totally free The End of the Dollar Empire. We're working on the fifth installment, which is the central bank digital currency installment. You're not going to want to miss. That's birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. Our own Jane Zirkle is there. You got in a question. Jane, it was kind of hard to hear some of the questions. Walk me through the question and the answer, ma'am.
Yeah, so I asked Dr. Navarro if he thought that the J6 committee members should be jailed for their suppression of evidence, and he basically broke down how several key figures, including Nancy Pelosi and, of course, some of the feds involved, played a big part in J6, and he called on Republicans to hold those accountable for their lies, for their suppression of evidence. While he, of course, is serving his 4-month sentence, there is a lot Republicans can do to get involved and get to the bottom of what happened here and get to the bottom of the J6 committee, which all of us here, of course, on Bannon's War Room and Real America's Voice know the true reasoning behind the January 6th committee. That is weaponization to get Donald Trump, the lawfare, all of it. And I have to say, what I witnessed down here and the remarks that Peter Navarro made, pure signal, pure MAGA. They are going after Donald Trump, and you and Peter, you guys, you're just standing in the way.
Jane, you're one of the young fighters of this movement. I first met you. You were an assistant to Mayor Rudy Giuliani. You were working on the laptop from hell. You've been at this for a couple of years. How inspirational is it for you young fighters to see someone like Dr. Peter Navarro, who's well into his 70s, sitting there going, hey, if I got to go to prison to stand on principle, then I go to prison to defend the Constitution, ma'am?
It's incredibly inspirational. You know, he understands that he had a duty to President Trump and a duty to his country when it came to his executive privilege. And that's why he ultimately, you know, did what he did. And he stressed that here today. He's a fighter. He's a true patriot. You know, it's not about for him doing 4 months in prison. It's about getting Donald Trump to the finish line and ultimately saving America from Joe Biden. If you look at what Joe Biden has done to this country, the border, the economy, Dr. Navarro addressed that all today. And you can tell that's where his heart is. It's for his country. And, you know, he's unfortunately having to take a bullet for it. But that's what a true fighter is all about. And he really represents true patriotism.
Jane, how do people get to you? The social media. I understand there's a lot of activities today. I think Abe Hamadeh has an event at Mar-a-Lago tonight. I think you and Mo may be around that. There's also a Catholics, the great Catholic group down there, Dr. General Flynn and others. I think Poso is all part of it. So Mar-a-Lago is going to be rocking tonight. How do people get to you on social media?
Yes, I'll be at the Catholics event tonight. You can find me at Jane Zirkle on Instagram, Twitter, Getter, and YouTube.
Jane, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Great work down there.
Thank you.
Courage. I want to thank Real America's Voice for getting set. This all kind of came up at the last second. I want to really thank Rob and Parker Sig, the entire Real America's Voice team for making this happen. It was just absolutely incredible, incredible today to see that and to see the courage. Remember, courage is contagious. Mike Lindell, you know better than anybody, courage is contagious. They've come after you, and they've come after you hard. Dr. Peter Navarro reports today to prison. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, it is. Courage is contagious, and that's why that's what's been going on for 3 years. And Peter's leading the charge on with his courage. And you guys, it's courage is contagious. It's spread everywhere now. We have stuff going on right now. It's daily. I'm getting calls daily where we're breaking on through, and it's so blatant, the attacks on everybody. And I like what the gal said there. It's people like yourself, Steve, and Peter standing in way of their attacks on the president and our real president. And he's standing in the way of the attacks on all of us. And it's but we're winning at every level. And I'm going to have great
Mike. Yeah, hang on for a second. I know you get, but I got limited time, and I do want to talk about the company real quickly. We couldn't get the sheriff on the day. He was tied up, but we put his. I'm going to put his letter out everywhere. He sent a letter to Jordan. Also, another attorney was arrested by U.S. Marshals. Can you just give me a minute on all that? What does it mean? Because it seems like, and you know me, I'm not a machine guy, although you've brought me a long way, right? I'm a mail-in ballot and phony
you'll
voter
get there,
rolls.
Steve,
but
you'll get there.
It just it seems like things are exploding. You know, Kurt Olson's about to drop a big drop of evidence at the Supreme Court. No. You got these things happening in Michigan. What's going on?
In Michigan, I'll tell you guys, what's got exposed there by the sheriff there, this stuff started 3 years ago. And Stephanie Lambert, this great attorney there, she dug in and back then working with Matt DiPerno, but they... the sheriff uncovered emails between Eric Coomer and Dominion and actually Alex Halderman, the expert. This stuff is all public. It's all out there. Stephanie released it, I believe, and they arrested her yesterday. She's basically a political prisoner right now. I mean, they don't want you all out there to see any of this. You've got that any other time in history, the evidence that just came out there, it's over. All the lawfare should go away. Everything should go away. And the court should go, hey, we got to save our country. We've got to get to paper ballots, hand counted. We've got to secure our elections. But they're going to try and suppress it and attack and attack and attack. They sanction and they sanction lawyers, and now they're arresting lawyers. I mean, where does it end, everybody? But it just shows we're right over target winning. And Steve, I want to say one thing to the Supreme Court case.
Yeah, go ahead.
You asked me yesterday about the Supreme Court case. If the Supreme Court does not accept them, I talked to Kurt Olson. Absolutely, we're going back to Arizona. That's a whole other thing, because when a case gets thrown out on standing, it's like a never-ending thing. This hasn't been thrown out on the merit of any of the evidence. So we're in very good shape, everybody. We're going to see a big report on this tomorrow where this evidence gets put forth.
I'll have you back on tonight. MyPillow.com, promo code WARM. Go there right now. MyStore.com, promo code WARM. 800-873-1062. Charlie Kirk is next on Real America's Voice. We're back at 5. We'll see you then.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. WARROOM Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today.
You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.